Good morning. I'm Colin Usher. I'm one of the elders at West Kirby United Reformed Church. Well, here we are. We've reached the end of our series about our identity in Christ. It's been a great series, I think. We have affirmed that we are his children, that we are forgiven and free from condemnation. We are made new in Christ with the wonderful slogan, God loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. This is by Leighton Ford. We're God's workmanships. We're not an assembly line product. We're deliberately planned and specifically gifted. Then one of my favourites, I am more than a conqueror. How is that feasible? Well, only when someone else does the conquering in your stead, I think. And Jesus does that. He's conquered so that we can be more than. Next, George reminded us that we are safe from the evil one. And if you missed this simple but deep talk, then go online and listen to the recording. All the recordings are up there online. And last week, we heard about the vital message of being a citizen of heaven, something that changes our perspective of this life in a fundamental way. Today, I'm going to try and bring all this together by considering the verse in Philippians 4, verse 13, in fact, which says, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. I think it's very easy for us to look at ourselves and think that we can only do the things that play to our strengths. We say, what can I do? Forgetting that actually the most important question is, what can I do in God's strength? Or maybe, what can God do through me? The answer actually might land up being the same, but equally, it might not. Sometimes God asks us to step out of the comfortable place that we're in, and to step into something new. Usually, he uses us to work within the boundaries of our personalities and our abilities. But even then, we must act in his strength and not just do stuff on our own. It's been said that if you give God your weakness, then he'll give you his strength. And I think that probably squares with our experience. When we try to do stuff in our own strength, we tend to get worn out, exhausted, and then go on to fail, or at least fail in part. But that's not what we're called to. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-30, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this is not a license for doing nothing. Jesus didn't claim that there would be no yoke. What he said is that it would be light. We'll still be busy. We might even be pretty hectic. But the yoke is light. And that's because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And that's actually the only way it works, I think. You see, all the things that we've learned about our identity in Christ are about God's work in our lives. He creates us. He makes us his children. He forgives us, makes us new, keeps us safe, and makes us citizens of heaven, all by conquering sin and death and hell on our behalf on the cross. So, as we react to this in gratitude and reach out to him in worship and service, we're reminded again that even this has to be accomplished through him. We can't serve him unless we're doing it in his strength. We can't even worship him unless we're empowered by his Holy Spirit. So it's not, what can I do for you, Lord? It is much more important for us to ask, What will you do in and through me, Lord? For if we attempt to just act on our own, then we're in danger of setting ourselves up for a fall. My friends, we're not talking here just about the sacred, the so-called sacred parts of our lives. We're not talking about church stuff. We're talking about everything. In school, do you pray over your schoolwork and enter into your work with a light but godly vigour? The yoke is supposed to be light. At work, do you take the Lord with you? Do you pray about the issues that you face? In your home life, in your family, your marriage, your friendships, what about all those? Do you invite God's participation? Take a moment to think about that and answer it for yourself. Do you involve God in all the different parts of your life, your work, your home life, your family, your marriage, your friendships? I want you to answer that for yourself. I will answer it for myself. And my answer is a disappointing, well, I do it a bit, maybe a little. In a crisis, perhaps I do better. But that's not very brilliant. I suspect we're all pretty much the same. The crisis might not have happened in the first place, I realise, or I would have dealt with it better in the build-up to the crisis if I'd truly involved my God in the day-to-day parts of my life. But the great news is that there's never got a point where God will just give up on us. He's like, oh, they never listen to me. I'm not going to bother anymore. He's not like that. That's not God's way. He's always there and available to give me the strength to do all things. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we read these wonderful verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I love the image that this always conjures up in my mind. I can sort of close my eyes and see that I'm in this great stadium, surrounded by all those who've been used by the Lord to impact my life and my spiritual growth. Many of those folks have passed on to glory now, and I have this image of them standing on their feet, cheering me on with Christ himself as cheerleader. Go, Colin, go, they shout. There's a sense of pride in many, for they know that they are part of my story. They've played their part. Sometimes there is a bit of a groan from the crowd. Not one of criticism, but more like when a sports person sustains an injury. They see that my injury has resulted in me falling short. But then they're back on their feet. They're cheering me on again, encouraging me. This great cloud of witnesses, this band of believers who have touched my life. Some I don't even recognize, but they still have a rightful place in that crowd, for they have acted at the Lord's command, and I've been blessed by them. For a moment, imagine your cloud of witnesses. Who are they? If I am among them, then I can assure you that I am cheering you on. Maybe some of them are even authors of books that you've read. But Christ is the cheerleader. Jesus calls us on as we all run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And now, he's standing on the track with you, empowering you. Jesus laughs. "Isn't this fun, running your race together?" he cries. Then we see there's a hurdle in the track. You know, this is insurmountable. But as you reach it, he whisks you off your feet and takes you over with as much help as you need, but not so much that you didn't do anything. And now you laugh in the joy of your salvation. For his yoke is light, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let us pray together. Thank you for all the things that we have learned about our identity in Christ. You create us to be special. Make us your children. You have forgiven us and made us new creations, keeping us safe and making us citizens of heaven, all by conquering sin and death, all by conquering hell on our behalf on that terrible cross. Now, Lord, may we know the truth of your enabling power in our lives so that we may be able to call on you and to do all that you call us to do through Christ who gives us strength. Amen.